The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For me, Peter has always been an intriguing figure. He's always seemed to be very colorful, very bold and outspoken and ready to do things and jump right in there. Last week in the gospel lesson was the story where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the disciples answered, "Well, some are saying that you're John the Baptist raised from life, or that you are Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." And then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter, that bold Peter, who jumps up and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus praises him and says, "Yes, Peter, you are right. And you are a rock. You are Peter, the rock. And upon your leadership, I will build the church." And so now we come to the lesson today, which are the verses continuing that story from last week. And here Jesus starts to tell them of the things that he is going to have to go through. He's going to be going to Jerusalem, and then he's going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and that he will be killed and on the third day be raised again from the dead. And this upsets Peter. And Peter says, "No, Lord, this can't happen to you." And Jesus then turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me. You're not thinking about divine things, but you're thinking about earthly things." And so we have Peter. Here one minute he's being praised for getting it right, for understanding, for seeing, for believing of who Jesus is. And at the next minute, Jesus is calling him Satan. "Get behind me. Don't tempt me." It's up and down with Peter. Up and down. One minute he's being praised, the next minute he's being scolded. But if you think about it, that's our lives too. One minute we're having a good time, we're having celebrations, we're laughing, we're talking, or at least we're in the midst of normal lives. Everything's going along as we want things to go. And then boom, things happen. Storms crop up. Storms in the literal sense and storms in the figurative sense. We just experienced a major hurricane here in this area. And I know you've seen pictures. Some of you have gone down to the areas that were even harder hit than we have been. You know, your life is going along and all of a sudden you're hit by all this wind, you're hit by all this rain, by the flooding, by the damage that's taken place. and your normal life, or your happy life, your celebration of life, is turned over. Many people did lose their homes. They lost all their possessions. Some people died in the midst of this hurricane, and their life is completely different. It changed that quickly. We also go through storms in our lives figuratively as well then too. Maybe it's a storm within your family. Husband and wife don't get along. Maybe parents and children don't get along. Maybe it's through the extended family that you're not talking to a brother or to a cousin in that family. Or maybe it's the storms that happen in your own personal life as well as your health, that you've gotten the diagnosis that you have a devastating disease. Or that you were fired from your job. You've lost your job. These storms happen to us. One minute we're happy, we're full of joy, we're celebrating, we're talking, having a good time with our friends, and the next minute the bottom is pulled out from underneath us. But that is our life. That is where we are in this fallen world. But we are also both saint and sinner. In our baptisms, Christ has washed us clean in the waters. He has taken our sin upon himself. He has tied us to that cross and that resurrection. He has washed us in his blood. He has forgiven our sins, and we are made clean. We are made worthy to be acceptable back to God. And God calls us his own children. We are saints because of the work of Jesus Christ. But then what do? We turn around and we go mess up again. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we hold back from God what belongs to God. We talk about our neighbors, we gossip, we do dreadful things to one another. We mess up, we sin. And so we are at both the same time, saint and sinners. But thanks be to God for Christ Jesus, because Jesus did exactly what he predicted here in this gospel lesson this morning. He did go on to Jerusalem. He was obedient to the will of his Father, and he went to Jerusalem, and there he did suffer at the hands of the scribes, the elders, and the chief priests. He suffered much. He had to drag his cross to the place of crucifixion, and there they hung him upon it, and he died. But when he died, he also took with him all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame upon himself. And he died with those, and he was buried. Our sin was buried. Our guilt was buried with him. But Christ rose from the dead, giving us that hope then too, that we are raised in new life with him. In Holy Communion, we celebrate that meal that we partake of Christ in his presence with us. We take his body, we take his blood, and we are reminded and filled with that nourishment of that cross and that resurrection within our own lives. Christ, by his work, has saved us. We were not able to do that, but Christ alone saved us and made us worthy to be called children of God. But now Christ calls us to take up our cross and follow him. It's not an easy thing to do, and many times the cross is misunderstood. The cross is not something that somebody else thrust upon you. The cross is not something that just happens to you. The cross is voluntary. And so a cross is not the diagnosis that the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but you have cancer." The cross you have to bear is not the husband who beats on you. The cross you have to bear is not the wife who cheats on you. The cross you have to bear are not the people who are always picking on you. That is not a cross, because that is not voluntary. That is not something that you chose to do. That is something else that has been thrust upon you. And you can do something about that, so that those things do not happen. That is not the cross that Christ is talking about. The cross which Christ talks about is completely voluntary. He says, take up that cross and follow me. If we wish to be followers of Jesus Christ, if we live upon that salvation that he has given to us, we are called to take up that cross. That cross is not always an easy thing. Jesus died upon that cross. And if you're wondering what it means to take up your cross, a good idea is to look at the second lesson for today, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Listen to some of the things that Paul says. And this is what it means to take up the cross. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. How tough is that one? Bless and do not curse them. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. That too is a very hard one. When somebody does something nasty against us, we want to give it right back to them. Live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Bearing the cross is not an easy thing to do. It means that we have to swallow our pride. It means that we need to be willing to forgive other people rather than lash right back at them. It means letting go of those grudges that we have held for years. It means making that first move to those that we are estranged from. It means being willing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if we get laughed at, if we get scorned, even if we get rejected. It means proclaiming that good news of Jesus Christ. For people across the world, they are willing to do this, even to the point of death. There are places in this world where it is illegal to mention the name of Christ. If you do so, you will be imprisoned, you may be tortured, you may be even killed. Take up your cross and follow me, says the Lord. Christ has given us his salvation. Christ died for us and he rose from the dead. That is work that we cannot do. We cannot earn that salvation. But we can follow him. We can listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to that guiding to take up our cross and follow Christ. Christ calls each and every one of us to be his followers, to do the will of God. Take up your cross and follow me. Amen.